Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a wine that they drank once before many years ago, but don't have any memory of. And that being the Tomasi Poggio al Tufo Cabernet Sauvignon from Italy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, we're going to make it right tonight. What the hell is that lyric by?
Tonight.
Phil Collins. Oh, I got some money in my pocket. I got money to burn. I don't remember where I got it. I got to get it to you. It's like Phil was like writing his lyrics and he was... Like, okay.
Or was he like 40 years in arrears capturing a text message stream?
I don't know what he was doing. I mean, it's just, that was made a lot of money. That song was on the radio all the time. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if you ever believe that Phil Collins, like, if that was like a song that made him a tough guy, he was going to get in a fight. Phil Collins isn't getting a fight. How tall is Phil Collins?
He's not tall.
He's a wee man, and he's British to boot.
Even
so.
If he was like an athlete, and they would be like height and weight, he's it'd not. Be a height, they'd just skip over.
No, I mean, nobody's intimidated by Phil Collins. I'm going to look him up. Phil Collins.
I think 5'5".
You're going to go 5'5"? I'll go 5'6".
Okay.
Oh, he's 5'6". Bam.
Well, that's good.
He's 5'6", and he's no more than a 120, folks.
Yeah, but if you believe that 5'6" listing.
Okay.
He's it's like five, saying Charles Barkley was 6'8".
He's 5'4". No,
6'2".
He's 5'2".
Well.
I mean, I could pick him up and throw him is what we're talking about. But
he's a dense man. He was dense. He wasn't a skinny man.
I could still pick him up and throw him. Henry's bigger than him, and Henry's 10. That's my son. He is bigger than him. He's a big boy. This weekend, we were at the air show in Columbus, and Henry went to the army tent, which, of course, he did, and he did push-ups, and so they have push-up challenge, and apparently, and it was confirmed by someone I know, someone that you coached in soccer, Jennifer.
Okay.
Did 65 push-ups in 35 seconds, apparently. That's what he claimed, and I saw the video, and you saw the video. They were in rapid succession, and he wasn't slowing down.
Yeah, they weren't.
He can't count, but still, I mean, he did a lot. It was impressive. His feet were a little bit wide, though, I think.
Well, wider feet based on your push-ups better for you.
Okay, well, he probably did a YouTube video on how to do proper push-ups. But, yeah, he was going. He was pumping them out.
Really spread elbows.
Yeah.
If you're, like, working on form, you'd probably want those a little closer together.
Yeah, both of us are talking about push-ups, and if you saw us in person,
fat,
you would say to Scott, you don't do push-ups. And me, we're like, that man does push-ups.
Yeah. That's right. The ice cream bars push-ups.
I'm attractive. I'm spelt.
What, is that your middle name?
At least I can see my dick, unlike you. So anyway.
Since I have a dick, unlike you.
I got 14 inches, so it helps. But you know, the length, you know, whatever.
You got 14 inches.
Of dick, a big dick.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
That's right, Scotty has
in
a big
your dreams.
Dick. I don't want to say that I know that he has a big dick, but I'm, you know.
How do you know that, Wilfred?
Because, well, I saw his dick. It's huge.
Because you are his dick?
No, I am a dick, but that's never. Scott makes jokes. Scott A is into human trafficking, and B writes pedophile jokes.
I wish we could traffic you.
No. You tried.
We
I'm
definitely
not,
tried.
Scott.
You're just not marketable.
For the 14th time, I'm not going to Thailand with you. I don't give a shit about the buffet that you found. I know what you're intending. And I won't help you.
It's a good buffet.
Lobsters. If it's a $3 lobster, it gives you gonorrhea, Scott.
It's the beef on the street.
The beef.
It's beef. On a stick.
Dude. You know what? Wilford makes a pedophile joke, but then you say that in your real voice, and it's much, much. much worse.
Well, the cat implications are rampant.
And it wasn't even a joke. Well, they took it a different way.
I've never been to Thailand.
That's right. I have. So
I don't have a passport. It's embarrassing.
You're not allowed.
Oh, I'm allowed.
Most felons aren't allowed to. So.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped you.
It's true. On tonight's show, folks, Scott and I are having a wine from a winery. Actually, a wine that we had several years ago on an earlier season. Probably
a what? A what season? It's, what was that?
I was saying earlier, oh, okay. But I said it with a little bit of a curl.
Well, a slur.
Maybe season two, maybe season three. It never aired. But yeah. The wine, it was the 2016 of this vintage. It's in the Hall of Fame. And we can see the label from here. Scott gave this wine 92 of his points, and I gave it 91. And guess what, folks? We never bought it a second time, and neither one of us have any memory of this wine.
Yeah, completely different label.
It's a completely different label, but we don't remember drinking it, even though we liked it that much. I think it was like $14-15 when we bought it.
We think we liked it.
I think we bought it at Home Buys. You could buy it at Home Buys. That's where we got it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Which is strange, folks, because there are some wines out there that are in the Hall of Fame. It's kind of the antique Hall of Fame. Because anymore, we just save the bottle. We have like 10,000 different empty bottles of wine, literally. Literally, we have that many empty. How many bottles do we? I mean, it's ridiculous.
10,000.
It's a little disgusting.
Well, 999 beers on the wall.
Yeah. We used to take the labels off and put them on the wall, and we still have those on there. But this is one of those labels, and neither one of us remember it. There's also like the Pena. We like that a lot. Don't remember it. The Solera. Don't remember it. We liked it a lot. The Via Pio. It was some sort of Italian wine. We liked that a lot, even though there's no scores on there. We put all these wines in the Hall of Fame, but we never aired the episodes. And we don't remember what they tasted like.
Well, so that means it was early, early days.
Oh, it was early.
3-4 episodes in a session.
You know, but I think we bought these things at Home Buys, which is a discount wine. Well, it's a discount store in Columbus where they do have a fairly big wine selection that are all discount wines. I haven't been there in a long time. Have you been to one in a long time?
No.
Last time I was at one, there were mice running through the store, so I stopped going because it's disgusting.
No, because you're afraid.
If you're anywhere near like a Big Lots.
Screams.
I would say Big Lots. That's not fair. Do you know what Ollie's Bargain Outlet is, folks?
It's like an odd box.
Ollie's Bargain Outlet. Only gross-er. Ollie's Bargain Outlet.
Possible.
Normally is a fire code violation because they have pallets of shit like a foot apart. So you're like crawling through.
Oh, like the Farm and Fleet.
No, it's not like the Farm and
Fleet.
Farm
and Fleet has pallets of shit.
Farm and Fleet, that's Tractor Supply.
Farm and Fleet does it too.
Tractor Supply bought out Farm and Fleet. There are no more Farm and Fleets.
Well,
that was like 20 years ago, by the way.
There's Farm and Fleets.
Good for you that you think that, but what? It's Tractor Supply. But there's no room in those things. And then you go and there's people that buy food. Like people like my mother. She buys food. That's why I don't like to eat at her house because I don't know if it's from Ollie's Bargain Outlet. Well, anyway, Home Buys is grosser than that, but they have discounted wines and sometimes they have some pretty fun things.
Blaine's Farm and Fleet, make it your best summer.
That's
ever.
Not the same thing. You
unlock
know that.
$5 off.
Blaine. You know a man named Blaine that is involved with farming? I've never met a man named Blaine. He's a volleyball player is what he is.
He's a gymnast.
Okay, a gymnast volleyball player. Same discipline.
Bartender in Toledo named Blaine.
Yeah, he's not a farmer. And he doesn't have a fleet.
Fired for breaking glassware.
No.
He would get angry at a sporting event and just decide to chuck glassware. What I never understood about Blaine chucking the glassware. He didn't throw the dirty stuff. He'd always pick up a clean glass. I'm just like, Blaine, you cleaned that. Why don't you break one of the ones that's in the sink and you haven't cleaned yet, buddy? And
his name is Blaine.
And he just looked at me with that look in his eye, and I went, okay, I get it. It's your thing.
I got to go up to Toledo here in about a month for a wedding.
I'm pretty sure Blaine's not there anymore.
It sounds like he was fired. So yeah.
Well, he met a nice girl, and they double-dated our house, and that night he admitted something to her and to us that he was actually on the run from Florida and he was avoiding child support. We didn't see Blaine after
Why would you admit to that?
That's a good question, particularly since the girl he was dating just got hired at the city prosecutor's office. She was an attorney.
Normally, you would admit that.
I think he had some self-destruction.
Hey, Blaine! Blaine, you tell her that the morning after, not the night before.
Nice. She brought a candle to a dinner date at our house. She was a nice person, too.
Blaine.
Yeah.
Blaine would have outstanding child support, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you know what he wouldn't have?
What wouldn't he have?
A farm or a fleet.
Well,
so,
you know,
Blaine's farm. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is the real deal farm and fleet. They sell tires and everything.
Yeah. It's not the farm and fleet that was around us.
Oh, Lord.
These were all bought up by Tractor Supply. But nevertheless.
Jesus.
Well, I will say, though, in Tractor Supply, you can get like a crate of dog biscuits for like $8. Although, we don't have a dog here on the wine vault anymore. Thank you, Bo, for being stupid. But that's okay.
Easy. Be nice.
I know. It's been a long time. It's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
I know. Another 3 months, folks.
It's been longer than that.
There might be another wine vault dog.
It was longer than that. Was it February?
No, it was the end of March.
Was it the end of March?
Very, very end of March. Yeah. It's true. What do we do? Oh, yeah, we drank Heights Trailside.
Yeah.
To celebrate him. But nice downer to the episode, Rob.
What's,
anyway.
What, so you're considering a new dog. That's good news.
Yeah, I know. True, we didn't know this, but...
Oh, she doesn't.
No, well, we're going to get another dog. But, yeah.
Well, you said it might be a while, but I'm glad you're going to get back on that horse again.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that.
Are you going to get a little lap dog? You know you want a lap dog.
No, I don't. I don't want a lap dog.
Our good friends have a great dog. He's not doing well. He's a Pomeranian, but he's got some breathing issues.
Mm. He's also got some looks issues because Pomeranians are hideous. But
no, he's a good-looking little guy.
I know, you think that.
No, he's a good-looking dog.
They don't allow you.
He thinks
you don't allow.
The
they don't allow you alone with him, do they?
George likes my buddy. He's his favorite person, but I might be his second favorite person. We vacation together, mm-hmm. this couple and I and the wife, and George fell in love with me because I left out a plate of sausage and he thought it was for him and it was just for us for later, and I put it up on a coffee table that I didn't think he could get to, and
mm-hmm.
we've been best friends ever since.
Hmm. Well, nevertheless, though, back to the wine. Tomasi is a fairly large producer in California. In Italy. And they have a big
California love.
I would talk about their portfolio, but it's large and huge.
And it would involve saying words you don't know how to say.
Yes, that's true. But this is just like their base level California Cabernet. I think Rob, the wine guy, has a head wound he doesn't know about. Anyway.
That's not a wound.
It's IGT. But
the wound?
Yes. The vintage we had was 16. It got a 94 from James. I love that wine quite a bit. And a 91 from The Spectator.
And I believe when we did the Poggio di Tufo...
You don't remember.
Earlier it had been scored well.
That's what we were saying. It got a 94 and a 91. This one, though, just got a 91 from James.
Oh.
Yes. Since 16, the 17 got a 90 from James. The 18 got a 93 from James. And then the 19 got a 91 from James. And no one else bothered. So, you know.
He does like his Italians.
Well, he does. I do like... Are you suggesting something, Scott? Anyway, tasty notes on this wine based on their text sheet. Deep ruby red in color. It has a broad, complex nose with aromas of blackberry.
Hey, don't say broad.
Why?
It's disrespectful.
I don't give a shit. Preserved black pepper, licorice, vanilla, and balsamic herbs.
The fuck is preserved black pepper? Is that like...
Blackberry preserve black pepper.
Oh, I thought it was preserved black pepper.
No, I took a pause when I shouldn't have, okay?
You didn't take a pause when you should have.
Well, that's right. Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break because we need to take a pause.
I still want to know what preserved black pepper is.
I know. And I'll tell you as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Scott telling me off air that he enjoys to kill squirrels.
Well, they ate my tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. When you're in German village, they would eat my tomatoes. And they wouldn't even eat them. They would pick them from the plant, take a bite, and then laugh at me.
That wasn't the squirrels. I actually came up to your house and did that. So.
Oh, they were squirrels.
The Tomasi.
I threw the tomatoes at you.
Yes. Poggio al Tufo. 100% Cabernet from Italy, in case we didn't mention that. The bottle size is 750 milliliter, and
what
I know, the grapes are
picked.
That's
a regular size bottle of wine.
I have some bad news for you, though. The grapes are picked when slightly overripe.
Okay.
Traditional red vinification with maceration for 12 days. They mature for 12 months in Slovakian or Slovenian oak. Casks.
Which we like Slovenian oak. We like Slovenian oak.
But the grapes slightly overripe.
I think that's an Italian perspective. I think relative
there's a lot of Italian perspectives that they shouldn't.
To other picking sources, they pick a little earlier than most. So overripe by their terms are right in line with the rest of the world.
I'm sure that that's true, but that it was is. In English, so it maybe is. It's not.
Well,
in the glass, though, it is dark.
This isn't going to be raisinated grape picking. This is slightly overripe by their standards, normal picking standards by the rest of the free world.
It's great information.
They want to be different.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. They are different.
On the nose, raisin.
It's not raisinated grapes.
Yeah, but it smells of raisin.
And licorice.
Licorice, yeah.
I get more licorice than raisin.
And a little bit of rhubarb. It's blown off a little bit because it smelled of fucking port the first time I smelled it, but it's not nearly as bad now.
There's some kind of earthy thing, maybe an herbaceous, like
thyme. Rosemary. It's rosemary.
No. Rosemary's sweeter.
This is sweet.
You're sweet on Wilford Wong.
Don't disparage me, first of all, Scott.
I'm disparaging the wine.
Go back to Thailand. Get your people to enslave.
Is there some street food that's beef on a stick and not cat?
It's an old joke, folks, but a classic one. Yes. Asians eat cat. Ha, ha, ha. I think that's racist, Scott, if I was to guess.
Bad street food reference.
Well, Rob the Wine Guy's been to Asia and eaten the street food. He didn't eat cat.
Willingly.
No.
Thailand street food is supposed to be off the hook good.
I was in Taiwan, so, you know. Let's go ahead.
I don't go rosemary. I go thyme, but that's okay. You. I love this nose, to be honest with you. It's gotten stronger as it sat for a little bit. I agree with you. We didn't care for the nose at first, but whatever that was is blown off. And this is a wonderful nose, actually. It's somewhat surprising for what it is. I think, you know, as you were pouring this in the glass, it looked a little light. It looked like it was going to be a little translucent. But in the glass, it really isn't. It has some tartaric acid crystals, so we should expect some acidity. I'm going to go in. Just quaffed it.
Medium-bodied.
A backbone of almost molasses. Not in a sweet way.
I concur.
But yeah. That smoky molasses thing.
Yes. Which is unusual if you don't normally drink Italian reds, but I've had this experience in Italian cab before. You remember the Spinelli?
What we had in Vegas? The
no.
What was that?
Nothing. Oh, that was
Alberino.
No. That was a Amarone.
Yeah, Amarone.
No. Spinelli is like a $7 or $8 Cabernet we've had before. Very, very light.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, but we liked it. It was simple. Yeah. We liked it. It was cheap. I've drank it like 4 or 5 times, actually.
Yeah, it had nothing to it. It had like 2 components.
But the 2 components were fine. They were dry. They were basic. This has a little bit of those elements, the flavor profile, but this is a magnum version of that wine. It's heavier. But the foundation of the wine is somewhat simple. It's not like it has some lengthy finish. It's not like it's wildly oaked where you're finding nuances and pops of this and that.
And it's there's something weird about the structure of the wine, and I'm gonna in my own way fumble around about it. It's almost there's nothing in the front palate.
It's a mid palate wine, yes.
That mid palate, we're talking about a fruit structure there, so it's like that front palate is just, I don't want to say nothingness, but it's weird. It just passes you by without a thought process.
Scott, what varietal and from where would you think this wine is if you blind tasted it?
No way in fucking hell would you say Cabernet Sauvignon.
I would think this is a fairly competent Californian Petite Syrah. Not by the look, though, but by the flavor profile, it tastes a little bit like that to me. It tastes American, but I'm sure it's Americanized at this point. It wasn't back in 16, but it is now. For our markets, it's $18, which is too high. But it's Americanized, but it doesn't taste of Cabernet, really. I would want from Italy, what do I want from a Cabernet? That's the first question. I want something that's a little bit leaner and harder.
We would usually expect it to be leaner than this.
Austere.
And by lean, we mean, you know, the weight, how it sits on the palate.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect a Italian cab to be more in the line of a lighter Chianti. That time, not stylistically, but it has the weight of it.
But no, it can have weight and richness, but the flavor profile should be chalky, should be punchy. It could have some blueberry, but it's very, very punchy fruit, but not rich and jammy.
Yeah, I didn't expect the richness. I expected
this isn't that, but
a lighter profile wine.
Yeah, you know, but it still can be very dense and tannic. A great one, a really great Italian Cabernet is by Tolarni, but then again, everything by Tolarni is great. But they're legit Cabernet, folks. That is an amazing, especially under $40.
This would
Italian Cabernet. Actually, it's an amazing Cabernet at any price range. And I can tell you, you know how I know why? A, I loved it to death. But B, you know who else loved it to death? Triple B. And her palate has been off because of the medication she's on.
That sucks.
And she loves it.
Where is this from in Italy?
Tuscany.
You know, I was
Toscana.
Yeah, so this is the cab profile you expect for a Super Tuscan, though. If you're going to have, that Super Tuscan blend.
Yeah, but you're going to blend it. This isn't a blend.
But this is the cab you want in that Super Tuscan blend.
It needs to be offset by a great deal. I don't know, though, Scott. It's not wildly tannic.
I get that, but you can get that tannic element from the other wines in the blend.
But the other ones...
This is not wildly tannic.
No, it's not. It's a drinkable red, but it doesn't taste like a Cabernet. It doesn't. I mean, I've had so many Italian reds that are basic, that are cheaper than this, that we just like. They're fun because they're austere and they're rustic and and maybe because this is made by a big producer, it loses that rustic element that I enjoy. I want, when I drink, say, a French or an Italian wine in this price range, I want to be thinking like I'm at some sort of restaurant that's open air, that's authentic, you know, where I want to have a nice view and I'm just relaxing in an afternoon where I don't have to go to work. You know, that's what I want to feel when I drink one of these wines. I want to be transported. That is like the best compliment I can give any wine, really, from these regions. But this wine doesn't do that. This wine is a wine that you think you'd drink in a boardroom. You know?
Okay, but I'm gonna.
There's nothing wrong with it. You could drink it. But it doesn't. It has no fizz. It has no authenticity to it.
Hold that thought for a second. Now let's take this and go off the menu at Scally and think food profile with this. Go with any of his veal dishes.
Well, sure, that's fine. It would work fine with those.
Think of the Brujol.
It would be fine with that.
I think it would be really good with the Brujol.
But Frank always has much better wines than this to choose from.
He's not afraid to offer something like this.
He offers things that are better than this.
But he also offers things that are...
He wouldn't offer this.
I think he might. Not as a feature.
He wouldn't, Scott.
He'd been offering a Rosso for more than 6 months straight.
Yes, but Rossos are more enjoyable. They're more interesting. There's more latitude for it. Frank is A. When it comes to Italian wines, and even wines generally, Frank has a very, very good palate.
Chops.
I mean, you don't have to be a sommelier. We're not sommeliers. But he is excellent at pairing wines with his foods. This is not one that he would pick. He would pass over it because it's not interesting enough.
I don't think he worries about interesting.
He would have, because the 16, apparently we love the shit out of that
we
one.
We can't remember it.
We remembered it then, but that was 6-7 years ago. I don't know about 6-7, probably 5 or 6 years ago, but still. You gave it a 92, Scott. You're not handing out 92s for $10 wines. I mean, shit. Yes, we've drank a lot of wine since then, several hundred wines since then. Yes, we've become a little more discerning. You know, we're not going to like Dealey Lane. Maybe. We're not going to like
Rayburn 88.
Summation. We're not going to like Artisan Zen. We're not going to like the Z Cavarici thing by... whoever it was, we're not gonna like those wines currently because we know they're not good, because our palates have evolved. Well, I mean, I drank a lot, but I had not drank to the volume
that you do now.
I mean, Jesus Christ, no! I mean, over the last 7 years. Well, I mean, in a clinical sense, and we're gonna talk about that actually on tonight's potpourri. But
our alcoholism.
It wouldn't have veiled sense, but this is a wine, though. I don't think we were gaga over this several years ago.
And we're not gaga over this.
No, time. And it's not the same thing. It just isn't.
Just real quick.
It has a better label, by the way,
than
too.
We just did a California Sonoma County designate imposter.
Yeah.
On the recent episode, and I think that would have been a good one to compare contrast this with.
We can. We're just thinking about it.
This doesn't have the oaking that one did. The Slovenian oak here is...
not non-present.
I was going to say absent. It really doesn't make much of a...
There's no framing or... There's nothing that really is pushing this wine beyond of the wine in the barrel. And, you know, and I don't... They said barrel. Did they say barrels? I mean, it's
might, casks, I think.
Yeah, so you could have we could be talking like fooders, where they're huge, and so with fooders,
you don't have the contact surface area relative to the volume wine.
Yeah, so small barrels equals more contact with the wine, but big casks don't. Well, all you're doing there is just mellowing the wine, essentially. You're
and not I'm not sure anything. You rotate the casks.
You can't.
I think, you know, maybe they're set on a table and they rotate, possibly, but I don't think so.
I don't think so. They're too big.
Where barrels,
yeah, there's
usually turning. You're going in and turning the barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it moves the wine. It's going to change the headspace, and the wine's going to shift, and parts of the volume are going to be introduced to the wood contact that weren't otherwise.
Here's another question.
It just really has no expression of the oaking.
Has no expression of the varietal or the oaking. Also, Scott, the 16 label is so much better looking than this label. You know, why would you switch? That's a good looking label. It's kind of like a pink chromish thing with red in the middle. It's simpler than this. It's just,
I don't know,
better.
That's personal preference. The other label looked a little kitschy to me, and this looks a little more like what I think an Italian wine label should look like. I don't know what that means.
Yes, but does the wine in the glass do that for you? This is not a bad wine, but it's not what we expect. I mean, you say, well, a straight varietal from Italy, and it's Cabernet. It's like, well, that's for Americans. Yeah, but it's still Italian. You're not expecting slop. You're expecting something that...
This isn't slop.
It's not slop, but...
It's a bit of a one-trick pony, even if it's got three or four tricks going on.
What are its tricks? Let me hear your tricks.
It's a dense wine. The flavor profile that exhibits, it's dense. That what I like about it, it has savory prune and plum.
And oh, it does.
And then on the end, that plum exhibits a little sweetness. It's got a kiss of sweetness on the finish.
Well, it's the overripe grapes. I mean, they carry through.
But it doesn't taste a sweetness, not in the front, but in the mid palate.
But there...
That
opening, though, there is a little bit of an overripe sense. It's not out of balance, and it doesn't make the wine unpleasant, but it does have a little bit of a wink of overripeness throughout the fruit. It doesn't not work. Let me say that, though. Occasionally, you can do that, and it can taste cloying, or it could taste medicinal. It doesn't do any of those things.
None of those things.
Partly because of the varietal. If it was a Grenache or something like that, then I could see it could go south really quick if you did that. With Cabernet, no, it's not going to necessarily do that. So it kind of works in that regard. But it doesn't really do anything after that. So after you have that prune, I'll go with prune and plum, it doesn't really then go anywhere.
It just goes to that finish that has that little kiss of overripe plum that I like. It's just what I like about this.
It's just
wine
a version, though, of what's on the front part.
I get it, but it shifts gears just a little bit, and I like that about it. Other than that, there's nothing really to write home about this wine. It's good. It's an easy drinker. I think people would like it. Who would like this? Pretty much anybody.
Smokers.
No, you're being rude.
No, it's fine. Nobody would find it objectionable.
I think the
would you get around to drinking it?
Would say again.
Are you gonna buy this? No.
You're
not gonna buy it.
No.
Me.
There's a purpose to it. It's just the reason I would buy this, there's other things I'd buy. If you're gonna have a house party and you wanna have red wine for the masses who don't normally drink red wine and they want something with a little sweeter profile, actually this fits great.
So you're admitting that there's a sweeter profile there.
Particularly on the end, which is honestly, there's two things people remember about wine. That first impression on the palate, which this doesn't have anything, and then that finish. And for most people, when red wine drinkers are new to it, they get that oaking and it confuses them and they don't know what it is. So they say, oh, I don't like that, because their brain's like, I don't know what that is. So they say they don't like it when they're really not giving it a chance.
You know what? I'll give you something. The people, yes, if you are having, it's a little expensive for that. If it was 12 bucks, it'd be better.
It'd be better.
If
15,
you,
it'd be better.
Yeah, if you do have, you know what? I'm going to give Scott some credit here, because he's right, very right. in a certain sense. If you're having a party and you have people that are casual drinkers that might dip into the apothics and dip into that bullshit, this wine is not that, but it probably would do enough that they're comfortable with to keep them happy.
And it's just because of the lack of oaking, which you're criticizing it for. This is a good wine to show non-wine drinkers because it doesn't have the oaking that... And again, I don't think people find it offensive. They just don't know what it is. They're not used to having that element in their alcoholic products.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
There's a reason people like Crown Royal and Irish whiskeys to bourbons and scotches because you don't have that barrel finish.
I used to drink Jameson's and Bushmills, and I could never touch that shit.
I still like Irish whiskey.
That's nasty, man.
Nah, that's false.
I mean, Bushmill Black Bush, but I would still... I mean, I'm... Any more, though,
is this a dwarf joke again?
Yes, it's a dwarf... No, I don't make dwarf... Anyway.
You did make a dwarf joke. You said it's a dwarf joke.
You wrote...
That's his wife.
You wrote a joke that Wilford
read.
You
read those off the internet.
No, Scott, you wrote that joke.
Don't write
And you
anything.
You said midget, and I changed it to dwarf, because that's more... acceptable,
there's
I think.
Separate classes of height people, and they're different.
I don't know, Scott. I just read what you wrote. You wrote the 28-year-old joke too, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Nevertheless,
but no, people. One, you're wrong about Irish whiskeys. Irish whiskeys are brilliant.
No, they're not.
Yes.
No, they're not.
Have you heard Powers?
Yeah.
Powers is delicious.
No.
And JMO's great. JMO's a classic. Classic. You're somewhere in this country that are calling back overseas to hire a hit on you because you're critiquing Jameson. Back on,
they're all drunk. They can't. Jameson is awful. It's paint thinner. I mean, I drank Jameson's and their better stuff 1,000 times. I mean, man, no, thank you.
Ever, dude.
But I drink bourbon neat. You drink it on ice because you're a bitch.
I drink bourbon neat often.
I only drink bourbon neat.
That's not true.
I don't drink it on ice.
Oh, Lord.
Ever.
False.
When have you ever seen me drink bourbon on ice? Ever. I don't.
Oh, Lord.
I don't. I don't give a shit what it is. I don't drink it on... I drink it neat. I mean, it might kill you. It doesn't kill me. I don't... That bourbon doesn't really... I know... you had... What was the Old Forester single... It wasn't the single barrel. It was the blue label.
I don't think they do a single barrel. It's...
They do a single barrel. We were there. They were bottling it, but you just can't ever find it. So... It's black and gold label. But... I don't know what that was, but it was very, very high proof. But that was a very potent potable. But I would drink that straight. Didn't bother me.
That's dumb.
I mean, it's just the way I do things. I mean, it's very, very heady. I mean, it'd be a bit much.
It's jet fuel.
You do need a couple drops of water in it, but you don't need it.
That's why people put little bits of crushed ice in there, sir. No. Yes, they do.
They shouldn't. They just
that's
put
what
a couple,
people do.
Couple drops of water is all you do. That's how you do it, man. But you're a bitch.
What, you're going to spit? Folks, you're going to dribble a spit globule in there?
Folks, by the way, recommendation for if you're a bourbon drinker out there, it's from Ohio, but it's very, very nice. Dexter. Great, great, great bourbon. Very elegant.
Just gave some credibility to his discussions of bourbon by recommending a bourbon from Ohio. There are no bourbons from Ohio, folks. Bourbon is only from Kentucky.
Not according to the law. Scott was just in Kentucky where they said bourbon can be made anywhere in the United States.
Not true.
That's what they said.
Not if you're going to be a purist.
Oh, God. No, not if you're going to be a cocksucker.
No, bourbon's from... Is Jack Daniels a bourbon? No, it's not.
That's whiskey. They call it so.
It's Tennessee whiskey, sir.
They call themselves Tennessee. They don't call themselves bourbon.
It's Tennessee whiskey.
But if they said they were, I would agree with them.
Oh, Lord.
Right. But Dexter, regardless of what you want to call it, it's an excellent, excellent whiskey / bourbon.
A great psycho mass murderer killing the bad guys.
For $50. $49.99. Great. Seek it out. Great.
Original Dexter. Great. The most recent series sucked.
No, I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Good decision.
Well, you know.
There are a couple good episodes.
Was it on Showtime?
That sounds right.
Is that even a... What is... Is it an app now? I don't...
Showtime, and it's on... Is it on Paramount or Hulu? No.
I don't know what it
it's
is.
It's one of those.
Well, nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. But then, we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott.
Sir.
We are in the 360 or 70 some episodes.
That seems like more.
Well, no. We've done probably 500 episodes.
I would say six.
Could be.
I would say there's so many.
Over 7 years.
Unaired episodes.
There are a lot. There's like pages and pages of ones, and part of the reason why we can't release them is because our technology's improved, and
there's no technology improvement. We were just bad at first.
That, but also the fact that we haven't, it's been several years now that we've been using a different type of
Rob technology. Early on, we played with mics, we played with different recording software packages. And I would say about episode 100 or so, maybe a little earlier.
When we started the Libsyn days.
You played with it and got it, and then we improved the mics over a couple iterations. Mm-hmm. And then we began to hone our craft.
True. As you know, or maybe you don't know, we're on the Quad Pod Network. Whatever that is. Been on there for, a couple of years now, right?
Something like that.
We don't even know what it is, do we? What
it doesn't exist anymore.
What is the... It does exist.
It was us and like five other things.
No, there's a lot of things on there, but none of the things you want to listen to. We probably... They don't reach out to us, so what the hell's the difference? I can make fun of them. Shows on Quad Pod. let's just look.
Well, the Quad Pod Network, our link with Quad Pod came about during the pandemic.
Was it the pandemic? I think it was before.
Yes, and we got reached out to by
Reds Fan Chatter is on the Quad Pod Network. That's exciting.
Really?
Yes.
So the Quad Pod was started by the ex sports.
No, and somebody that was into
was a talk.
Healthy foods or something.
No, she was a drive time DJ in LA briefly. Then she went to Houston. Then she came back to San Francisco. She was the driving force, but behind the Quad Pod Network.
Yeah, the Jiggy Jaguar podcast is on Quad Pod Network.
I think that might be an original one.
He has interviewed Eddie Money. Did you know that?
I've been to Eddie Money concerts.
He's interviewed Eddie Money, Dean Koontz, Mary Higgins, Clark.
Yeah, that guy was definitely an originator of
Progressives. Conservatives, and I don't know. I'm going to look. I want to see
like
this.
Progresso.
And moderates all come to talk to Zygmunt Freud. I really want to listen to this.
Don't want to listen to it.
Why not? Right now, the most recent one, Jiggy Jaguar podcast, Andy Ross, country music star and TV host. Do you know Andy Ross?
No.
Before that, it was Seth Holehouse.
Okay.
Then it was nobody. It was just the Jiggy Jaguar by himself. This is Wine Wars. All Winston Greer. You know Winston Greer?
I think that's Rosie Greer's.
The Quad Pod has not asked us to pump up any of their shows. So
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's probably true. ROG Return on Generosity. That's very exciting. We could do that. The Ashway Island Podcast. Rock Files Podcast. That's very interesting. The man has a flavor saver.
Or it's like his spin on the Rockford Files.
Relationships. Relationships is a podcast about how relationships change over time. It's a dude. I want to listen to that. We should talk about that.
How relationships change over time.
Man, if you fucking...
Like when the trip we found out what a douchebag you are.
Oh, man. Relationship Shift. This is the podcast. A dude and a woman. And
a dude and a woman.
Yes. Welcome to Relationship Shift. Shift is capitalized. A podcast about how relationships change over time and how integral your community is in shaping your journey. In each episode, we explore a different relationship dynamic. The passions and stories behind it, and how much more. I wonder if they talk about ATM on their show.
Is this like a sex therapy show?
There's only 11 episodes, so let's go back. There's not much to look at here. Apparently, there's a low bar to be on the Quad Pod Network. We're a little bit embarrassed right now.
We fit in quite well.
Yeah, I guess so. ATM is not one of their episodes. They should be on there. Let's see here. Number one.
Just explain to listeners your take on ATM. Just do it.
Ass to mouth.
There you go.
There we go. Anyway, our story. Those two would be better if they talked. Our inaugural episode of Relationship Shift shares the story of how our podcast came to be.
They're just.
Well, hey, man, that's what we're doing right now. Kind of.
Not really.
No. Second, number two episode, Jane's Story Music. This week's episode of Relationship, we chat with Jane Mangini. Oh, she's a member of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's interesting. And she's a rock and roll icon. You know what? She's not.
Or that isn't interesting. I don't know. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra, maybe it's interesting to some people.
Well, basically they're... Oh.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, everybody likes it.
Scott. Yeah, I know. That's
everybody loves it.
Episode 3. This is Karen and Frank's story. It's about sex between Karen and Frank, I think.
Why do you think?
It's because they said, we chat with Karen and Frank, co-hosts of the Talk Normal to Me podcast about their relationship with sex.
About their relationship with sex.
Yes.
That means they have, that doesn't mean it's between them.
No.
It means they're talking about their relationship with sex.
Next one, they talk to someone about eating disorders. This isn't really... You know, wow, this
isn't really interesting to talk about.
Oh, man, that's pretty exciting.
No, it's really not.
The Nicole Sandler show. You want that?
That's Adam's cousin's sister.
So isn't Monday Motivation with Hannah B. We want to listen to that podcast.
I think she's the founder. I think Hannah B's the founder, dude. Hannah B's want to reach out to us.
How about the Smoking Hot Toddcast?
How about not?
Why are we on this? How about God News You Can Use? What if we're on? Oh, here we are. Wine Vault. How about Life is Awkward?
It's the Wine Vault's awkward right now.
Legally Balanced.
Hot Todd Podcast.
Hot Todd Podcast.
It's actually about making winter cocktails.
Quad Pod Network, folks. Yes, we are a member of that. We have not vetted the rest of the things that have grown around.
Well, apparently you just did.
There's only like two when we joined.
No. I think many of those were original.
It could be.
Hannah B. is the founder. The relationships one, yes.
Was not.
Yes.
Wide Open Wheel was. I remember that. Mm. And the Broncos Northwest podcast.
The Broncos was on there.
But not Hoppy Hour.
Nope.
It wasn't. Disaster Dating. Actually, I would listen to that. I won't. But Small Bite Keto, the founder of Quad Pod, that's her stuff, Susie Perkowitz.
No, it was Hannah B. was the one who reached
out
to us.
You're wrong.
Okay.
It was somebody else. But yes, it might have been Hannah B.
Hannah B.
You don't know. Nobody reached out to you. Everybody knows who you are.
Who's it going to be? I was the one who did the research on it.
You didn't do shit. Our pictures are on here on Hosts, though, folks. Go on to Hosts. You'll see a picture of us. There's Scott. He's drinking a rosé with a neckerchief around his neck. And then I look really good looking. It zooms in on my face. So you can see me. I'm by far the best looking person. Well, the Triple P is there. She's beautiful. Sure. She's not on tonight, so I can. But, yeah. The other people, though, look like they belong in a probation office, basically.
Yeah. That's you.
No, I look great. You know who doesn't look great? Tyler Butterball. Yeah, he looks like shit. So, Toscano, back to the 80s. Oh, what were we going to talk about? Who the fuck knows?
Well,
we're professional wine podcasters. That's, you know.
Professional?
Yeah, we are. No. The wine evolution of the podcast. I mean, seven seasons, yeah. 300 and bajillion episodes. And the way the palate develops. I mean, when we think we started off, what did we start off with? Grocery store shit. Stuff we were finding.
We're still doing that. But
I mean, we are, but we're finding. We have more obscure shit that we throw in here now and then. I mean, this is something that we bought on wine.com, but we are throwing more obscure shit. Like we did the Uruguayan, the tannin. We originally, we were just pulling stuff off the shelf. Chateau Souverain. That nasty thing by Bogle. Central Red. That kind of crap.
I think for our marketplace and probably for most marketplaces, the post-pandemic wine availability is different. The wine market's changed over 7 years of doing this, for sure. But we've developed taste, we've developed relationships with wine, we've developed relationships with reviewers. We know who we agree with, we know who we disagree with. It's just been an interesting ride to have comparison points for so much different wine. Yeah, there's a lot of shit we drank. There's like, fuck, I don't remember that shit. But it just grows. Your brain tells you. You may not remember an individual bottle of wine, but you know, oh, this is, I've had this before. Oh, this is unique. Oh, I like this. Oh, I don't. And then the whys, you become better able to express why I like this. But one of the journey things for me where I love doing what we do, you know, typically we're going to decant a red wine. And then we're not pounding this. We're going slowly. And there's that moment where all of a sudden a wine just changes for you and something clicks about it. And that, I think, is something about the growth of the palate, too, where you can pick out this one element that it's a reason to like this wine over 100 different wines. And it doesn't mean I'm going to buy the bottle again, but I can find this one little element of this Italian cab that I like.
Well, no, not this particular wine.
No, I do. There's, and for me.
Oh, well, then you like it so much. I'm giving you some.
For me, it's where that plum exhibits that little overripe sweetness at the end. And I like it. I like that.
It's not a bad wine. It's just what it doesn't do for me is it doesn't sing to any type of varietal. It doesn't really show any type of terroir. It doesn't exhibit anything that I would that I would associate with Italy. It just tastes like a product that was made for a wide market that doesn't grab on to any one region and really show anything that's special. Or showcase anything. I mean, it's a product. It's a product line.
It's weird. It doesn't hit that front palate void.
I want something that reminds me of a. I've not been to Italy, but something that reminds me of a trip that I would go to Italy in my mind. Well, Yeah, I want to be transported. I want to think that I want it to be rustic. I want it to be hard-edged. I want it to taste Italian, for Christ's sake.
Then what the fuck are you drinking cab sauv from Italy?
But it's still
for?
Italy. They're still Italians.
Yeah, well.
I like Italian wines. I like their take on all varietals. I like their take on single varietals. I do. Mm. I like that. Well. I like an Italian Cabernet. I like their take on Italian. I like their take on Cabernet. I do. I like their take on Bordeaux blends.
I'd rather
do.
Have an Italian Merlot or an Italian
but I
like indigenous variety.
But I like what they do with those things. I like their mindset. I enjoy it. You know, in today's market in Ohio, we can't buy Bordeaux that much. I mean, when the fuck, yeah. You know, I mean, Sassonet came in, and I creamed my pants, and I bought two bottles. Then it's gone. But I got about two bottles. Fuck you guys. That's something you buy at fucking, what's the big superstore that we go to in Myrtle Beach?
That
one. Anyway, Total Wine. And so
they piss me off, man.
But it's not that interesting. But it was because we never seen it in Ohio. But you know what you can buy in Ohio? Italian Bordeaux style blends. Same grapes. It's done, though, a little more austere, more Italian.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I like that. I've been flirting with the Orniano.
Well, you flirt with every bottle of wine you have.
I know.
You're
just but
a decrepit individual.
I want my Italian wines to taste the thing. My thing about our journey through all the wines that we've done, you know, it's given us perspective on things that we can tell something that's mass produced like that.
Yeah.
We can taste something that's made on a budget like that. We can taste something, though, that's made with imagination, that's made with passion like that, too. Passion and imagination in winemaking is instantly recognizable, unless it's made by those naturalists that we had, that the impulse and shit like that.
Actually, I like their stuff.
I didn't.
I did.
But it's disgusting. But passion and imagination are the two things that you can tell as a wine reviewer or wine expert in the wine. Obviously, the quality of what they're putting in matters. But if they have that imagination, if they have that passion, they're going to seek out and they're going to know the quality products, the quality grape stock to put in there. After that, though, where's their passion? Where's their imagination? That is what I'm looking for. If they seem like they love what they made, it's more likely that I'll love what they made. This wine does not taste like anybody loved it. It just tasted like they want to make a spreadsheet. And this wine is on the spreadsheet to produce a certain amount of profit. That's what this wine tastes like to me. There's nobody named Joe behind making this wine, or Giuseppe, or Luigi, or Frank. There's no name behind this wine that says, you know what, in 2019 or 2018 or whatever it was, I made our Cabernet, and I'm damn proud of that.
Yeah.
Nothing about this wine sings that to me. And that's what I look for in a wine. Is there somebody behind that wine that isn't named Allison Crow that made it, that loves it? Because if they loved it, it's likely that somebody else is going to love it too.
It doesn't feel manipulated.
But no, it doesn't.
Yet it feels like they tried to do something out of their range and they just missed.
No, it tastes like something that they made out of obligation because they had a box to check.
See,
and they didn't really, and it was like, okay, it's done.
I don't feel that.
We're more excited about these other things that we're doing over here. We're not going to put the time into what we did there.
This feels like
an afterthought.
Well, the oaking is an afterthought. It just, I don't recall a Slovenian oaked product where there was less influence on the wine than this.
Mm-hmm.
There's like almost no oaking influence on this wine in the glass. I believe that they Slovenian oaked it. I don't think that they would put that on the label to fool us like somebody might with Sonoma Cab products when it's actually made in Lodi. But and back to kind of our journey, that story of our journey, I feel for me, I know much more about oaking and where it can go right and where it can go wrong and the influence on a wine. And I appreciate that so much more in the winemaking process when it exhibits itself in the glass. And that's just putting in the work and, you know, a little bit of reading helps, but it's really experience and putting that to work in. Really, what we do is analyze, right? Or we try to the best of our pea brain abilities.
Make dick jokes, too. But
yes, you do.
I do. You make pedophile jokes, but still.
No.
Scott, encapsulate your experience throughout the show in one single word. One word. Not two, not three, not four. One word.
One word. Encapsulate my experience. We were talking about the journey. So now you're just talking about the experience.
I can do it. Passion. Me, passion is the word.
Yeah, the other word I would... That's fitting. But commitment. You know, we've just had a commitment to putting in the work and doing this.
That's fair enough,
too. And trying to be... This sounds ridiculous, but trying to be serious about what we do.
We are, but...
I am, but...
You are not. Whatever. You write these things.
Jesus. I have to
do the things I do to make you less boring, so...
That's
folks,
not possible.
That's true. Folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Tomasi Poggio Altufo Cabernet Sauvignon from Tuscany, or thereabouts, as we've experienced recently. Thereabouts is a good term to use.
No, not with Italy, because IGT, they take that shit serious. You'll lose your right to produce wine.
IGT means you can do whatever the fuck you want.
But you're from a certain region.
They don't care.
Oh, yes, they do.
Hey, man, a pocket full of cash, you can do whatever you want. Nevertheless, Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
Pocket full of cash, that looks like a Sheryl Crow song.
No, it's a pocket full of kryptonite, and that's a... what the hell are those guys?
Yeah, we're two.
What?
Brothers who adore you.
Oh, that's two princes. Yeah, that's...
Gonna do flowers...
That's what you're so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. It's not really in tune, but Spin Doctors, folks. That's
not that song, but Spin Doctors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Too bright. Yeah. If you wanna buy me flowers, just go ahead.
86. I'm pretty sure the wine guy's going to go 85, but fuck him.
Fuck you, cocksucker.
Yeah,
fuck you, motherfucker.
You corksucker.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Fuck you. No, 86.
I might go 82.
It just missed the mark. Rob said spreadsheet wine. I don't think that. I just think they missed the mark. They missed the mark with the oak. It's a bit of an oddball, that front palate, that there's a void in there. It's weird, but I like the wine. It's approachable. It's easy to drink.
It's approachable and easy to drink, but it didn't taste like Cabernet.
There's nothing wrong with it in terms of it being objectionable to drink. It's just weird. Your brain you get used to it, but the fact that there's this like void in the front palate where just like nothing happens, and all there's this, it's, you know, usually you expect the fruit to all be in the front palate or that first hit you get on the wine, and there's this gap. You drink the wine and there's this gap. There's this sense of nothingness that's odd. You get used to it as you drink it, but your first two pulls, it's like, this isn't quite right. But yet at the same time, you're going, I like the fruit. And for me, I really enjoyed where it transitioned from savory to this just little kiss of ripe plum on the finish.
Ripe plum?
Ripe plum. Sweet plum.
With some brandy in there, too? She's like a fine brandy girl.
There's a port on the Western Bay.
Actually, that's not that different than what they sing it. I was going to make fun of you, but that sounds very accurate. Actually,
a time away.
They're not very good, but good job. That was a good looking glass. That was actually good.
Swear about their love.
That's very good, actually.
There's a girl.
But you can't actually do. The sailor said, Brandy, she's a fine girl.
She's a fine girl.
What a good wife you would be.
She would be.
But my life, my love and my lady is a sea.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's not bad, Scott.
Brandy used to watch.
No, don't do that. But don't.
As he told his sailor story.
I know the lyrics too, but I don't admit that I know them.
Come alive.
That's that, you know that lyric? That's too much, man.
Feel the rage and glory.
Oh, man. That's a lot. That's just, you shouldn't know that much, but it's okay.
KTEL Records. No.
Oh, it's
86 of my points.
Yes.
As much as it's a oddball, as much as its structure's not right, as much as it, you want it to be more cab-like and it's not, you want it to be this. Normally, when I think of Italian reds, other than the super Tuscans and your big Barolas, I think of
good wines,
nice and easy, lighter bodied, lighter profiled. I don't think of this savory fruit thing. I just don't. And I enjoy this, but you would never say cab. You would never say Italian either. So there's that kind of sort of against it. But nonetheless, I think people would like this. I think you'd drink it because it's just, it's easy to drink.
Well, on to me. Representing the Triple B tonight. First of all, you start off with 85. That's the Olympic score that she takes literal. Well, it doesn't taste like Cabernet. It doesn't taste like it's Italian. So you're going to knock off a couple points there from 85. So now you're down to an 83. But then you consider the fact that it's not disgusting. And the holistic approach says, this isn't an 83 for Christ's sake. Brings it back up to an 85. Scott's 86, I'm not going to, I mean, it's fine. 85, 86 is fine. As a red wine, not as a Cabernet, as a red wine. I understand it's Cabernet, but if you ignore that fact, because you're never going to do that in a blind tasting, recognize it as a Cabernet. If it's just a red wine drink and it's from some place that is undetermined, maybe it's Slovakia. Who knows? It's fine. For me, it's disappointing the fact that it's Italian and I want it to be better than what it is. I want it to be a little bit drier. I want it to be a little more austere. I want it to be a little more serious.
He's so emotional. He wants it to be Italian. He wants to have emotion.
I want it to be more rustic, and it's not any of those things. And quite frankly, Tomasi is a big producer, and they probably don't, you know, if it was Bola, I probably would have thrown up all for myself because it would have been disgusting. So, you know, whatever. I should be thankful that it's Tomasi, right? But 85 of my points, 86 is fine too for Scott. But he's not. But Scott is
Wait,
not.
Why are you offended when I said "fuck you, Rob"? You're going to give him an 85.
Because I was going to say that in general. I mean, why wouldn't I say "fuck you"? But I mean, seriously, that's just like a standing order.
I said it to you.
You could go fuck yourself.
You're offended.
Go have sex with yourself, not in front of me. But it's just... I mean,
at least I know what I like.
And Scott... Yeah, you like things that don't really like Cabernet and it's from nowhere. That's why you probably like 19 Crimes, because it's not from anywhere and it tastes of something that is a little odd. But...
I'm going to give this a backhanded compliment. This wine. Yes.
It's not that bad.
No.
I didn't get crabs from this wine. My dick doesn't drip because of this.
We talk about wine concentrate. Okay. And the thing that wine producers do, they use wine concentrate to cover up flaws in wine and to do that.
Yeah.
If wine concentrate did this...
It'd be fine.
It'd be fine.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
Hemorrhoids didn't. What weren't caused by this wine.
My hemorrhoids were caused by this wine.
My asshole is in the size of Texas because of Tomasi Cabernet. That's not raw. That happened. Why did it happen, Scott? I want to know. I understand it involved the New York Knicks. That's all I know.
Oh, the Knicks.
The Knicks. Yes.
Not the Knicks' girlfriend. Not Randall's girlfriend, no. No,
Randall, probably. Yes. Anyway.
Didn't get a herpes sore from this wine.
No, you already had that. It was a pre-existing condition. So, folks.
I didn't get an interior nasal pimple from this wine.
You got something. The Pollo al Tufo, an 85 and 86, a not recommended,
no,
but...
No.
It's
easy.
It's not recommended.
Fine. It's lightly recommended.
It's not. What are you recommending it for?
Because it tastes good. At $18, it's hard to recommend this, to be honest.
You can't recommend. It's not recommended. If it were $12.99, I'd be fine with that. But it's $18.
I think people could drink this, though. I really do.
That's such a low bar. People could drink this. And you're conditionally saying possibly they might be able to drink
it. No. I think people would like it.
Yeah, whatever. No.
Yeah.
Not recommended. Tomasi, go back to 2016 and do that, apparently, because we loved it then.
Let's just go through the batting list. Triple B wouldn't like it.
No.
My wife wouldn't like it.
No. Well.
No, probably not.
She'd think it was boring.
She'd say she wouldn't like the little sweet thing at the end. She'd know that the front palate's like, weird.
You know what? Just for argument's sake, I'm going to say that Deb, she would not think that this was exciting. Let's just say that.
She wouldn't like it.
No. No. Steve Gibson would not like it.
No, Steve would drink this.
Steve would drink anything.
Steve would be the one that likes this.
He would drink somebody's bath water if you told him there was
Steve
pot
would like
in
this
it.
Because it's easy to drink. And what's the ABV on this?
13.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't appreciate that.
No. So it's not recommended. I wouldn't buy this. I wouldn't recommend it. But if you bought it, you won't throw up. So there's that. Hey, man. You gotta look
Why did we do this again?
I don't know, because we liked it back in 2016, and we don't now. So fuck it. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.